Welcome to Tech San Diego Spotlight Podcast. I'm Kevin Carroll, Executive Director of Tech San Diego, coming to you from technology's perfect climate in sunny San Diego, our temporary global headquarters, I guess, in sunny Rancho Penasquitos. We thought we were going to be returning to the office, but those plans have all been set aside, so still working remotely. So this is a podcast I've really been looking forward to. If you look at the different segments of Tech San Diego and you look at software and your manufacturing, you know, really one of the areas where we've really seen a lot of disruption and a lot of changes in the manufacturing space. And yes, there is still manufacturing in California and it's very vibrant. And yes, there are still small, mid-sized manufacturers and they're really going through a lot of change. A lot of that is due to the supply chain. And so they're really looking at everything. So the timing of this could not be any better. So I want to welcome to the podcast, Greg Profesich. Greg, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Kevin. Thank you so much. It's really great to be here. Appreciate you having me on today.
So let me give you guys a quick rundown of Greg's. I'm going to read a little bit of his bio. His bio was really large. I'm just going to give you a little bit of it. He currently serves as the Director of Advanced Manufacturing Technologies at CMTC, working with manufacturers to increase their productivity, performance, and global competitiveness. He's a manufacturing operations and technology executive who believes that manufacturing is the key creator of wealth in the economy and that a strong manufacturing sector is critical to our nation's prosperity and security now and for future generations. Greg has a 25-year plus career in manufacturing, working with such companies as General Motors, Chrysler Corporation, John Deere, Boise Cascade, Mattel, and Hewlett. So nice, extensive background. Again, Greg, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
So, you know, Greg, there's a before we get into, I know there's a lot of CMTC programs that can help small, mid-sized manufacturers, but before we go there, can you help us kind of define what, you know, and I've heard the terminology manufacturing 4.0, but from a really broad view, how would you kind of define this kind of new evolution in manufacturing?
Great question. And it's great for context also to get started. And so, you know, the fourth manufacturing revolution or manufacturing 4.0, industry 4.0, industry 1.0 was changing from animal power to steam power, right? And then we moved on to assembly lines and industry 2.0. And then industry 3.0 was the beginning of PLC logic and, you know, controllers and execution systems and those kind of things. And now we're getting into the full digitization of manufacturing. And that's really what it talks about. The beginning of talk about the Internet of Things and the industrial Internet of Things. And really, you know, up until a few years ago, it wasn't possible and it didn't happen that machines talk to machines. In the past, the internet was the internet of people. You had to log onto a browser and query something. Now we have a world where machines and devices are talking, using the internet to communicate with each other, leaving us out of the loop in a sense. And we can get ourselves into that loop and use those technologies and those capabilities for improving and solving business problems and improving productivity, improving quality, improving throughput, customer service, all those kind of things. That's what Industry 4.0 to me is really all about from a high level. And we can talk about given technologies. There's additive and generative design and RFID technologies and wireless and all these things. If you Google industry manufacturing 4.0, there's lots of graphics out there that have those things on. Machine to machine, machine vision, machine learning, AR, VR, you know, augmented reality, virtual reality. Lots of different things to talk about in that space. But those are all the technologies that are really going to enable, you know, the biggest next big strides forward in manufacturing. Like the assembly line was a big stride forward. Costs came down, production for the masses, if you will. Industry 4.0 has that same kind of promise for us.
I think, Greg, I think you're right. I think the definition will vary depending on who you are, but just the idea that it's the digitization, right? And that can mean a lot of different things.
Yeah.
You know, and in the past, what you've seen, if you go through these evolutions, it, you know, the very large, big conglomerates have typically been the first to transfer. But I imagine that that's probably not the case now, that small, mid-sized companies in some ways have been leading the charge on that. Would that be a correct assumption or is it wrong and small, mid-sized companies are kind of coming late to the game on this?
I think it's a mix, actually. It's a both kind of an answer. There are certain small to mid-sized companies. You know, we work with small to mid-sized manufacturers. CMTC, we're the MEP Center for California, right? So our charter, we're a mission-based nonprofit organization that's chartered to work with, through our cooperative agreement with MEP, with small to mid-sized manufacturers, 500 or less employees, right? 500 is still a pretty big company though, right? And so the stats work out. I mean, Kevin mentioned, you know, manufacturing in California. It's still pretty big here. We've got about 37,000 plus or minus manufacturers in the state. We've got somewhere between 11 and 14,000 in LA County. Now, to put that in reference, in perspective, there are roughly 40 states in the nation who don't have 14,000 manufacturers statewide, right? So even though manufacturing has fallen from its lofty heights of the 60, 70,000 firms back 15, 20 years ago, we're still the biggest manufacturer in the nation. You know, some of our tech startups, some of our early stage companies may be using technology as a competitive advantage as part of how they form themselves. They can be way far ahead in the industry 4.0. There are other traditional organizations that may be behind, and I say maybe because some aren't. You'll still find machine shops with manual machines and CNC machines, but they're not connected. You'll also find machine shops and you walk in and we've got a couple of clients who are, you know, fully automated 24/7. They've got bar feeders feeding the lathes and the machines. They've got robots tending the machines, moving, taking in, loading in blank parts and taking out finished parts. And they run 24/7, lights out. And so it really runs the gamut. And really, to me, the case is, you know, what is the business case? What are you trying to achieve as a small manufacturer? What do you need to do? What are your challenges? And how do we find a right technology fit that can help you take those incremental steps on that journey? Because technology is going to continue to evolve. And we're all, in a sense, on a technology journey. It changes and we have to change with it and adapt and pivot. That's the questions that we try to ask here at CMTC.
Yeah, and I think companies really do struggle with, you know, choosing the right technology. Is it just a guy that knocks on the door, or is it, you know, someone else? With that in mind, I always love to ask this question. Talk to us about some of the misfires or mistakes that some companies make when they're really looking to go, you know, full digital on their manufacturing. When you walk in a company, you say, oh gosh, I just wish they wouldn't do that. What are some of those things?
You see it occasionally. And thankfully, I haven't seen it all that much. But there are those cases where there's an additive machine sitting over in the corner, or a robot sitting over in the corner with a plastic dust tarp over top of it. They tried and they couldn't make it work, right? And I always wonder and kind of scratch my head, were they sold something? Did they have the wrong technology? Was this something that they bought for a point solution and now it's no longer needed? It's obsolete for them. You know, sometimes you don't know, but there are cases oftentimes when you run into those situations, and it really requires a certain amount of due diligence, right? How do you match up your business need for a technology that can help solve it, right? And then how do you find the right partners to work with? And if you don't work with the right integrator, you're going to probably have some problems. Right. If the integrator is a little outside of their scope, or if the salesperson of the original equipment kind of was trying to make quota and, you know, sold you something that's an 80% fit, but not 100% fit. Right. And there's going to be some difficulty there. Those are the situations where you run into those kind of things. And it's kind of sad, but it does happen. To us, technology is a tool. It's not the goal. Right. The goal is a culture of continuous improvement. The goal is being able to use technology to further your business objectives and increase your resiliency and your sustainability. We're looking for, you know, what's the right technology for a business issue? And when you match that up, you tend to have not so many of those situations.
Greg, it seems like that's really tough for small, mid-sized companies to do that type of research, right? Because, you know, your small, mid-sized companies, you don't have someone whose sole job is, look, my working cap is, you know, I'm in charge of manufacturing 4.0 and I'm going to digitize the line, right? No one has that. It just happens to be part of someone's job. Do you guys, even before you plan on buying something or even make that final decision, and we need to explain who CMTC is a little bit too, but does CMTC provide any type of assistance on that front end research? And are you paid by any of the, is it a neutral consulting? For instance, I don't think you're paid by any of the big robotics manufacturers or additive manufacturing.
No, we're not.
Or any of those guys. You're not a VAR for any of those. You're a neutral advisor.
Correct.
As far as I could see.
Correct. Absolutely. So a couple of things in there in your question. I'll try to unpack them one at a time, make sure I hit them all when I'm done here. But yeah, so CMTC, we are a 501c3 nonprofit. We're the Manufacturing Extension Partnership Center for California. So we hold that cooperative agreement. We hold a couple of other agreements. MEP is with the state through the Department of Commerce and NIST. We also have some agreements with the state of California through the Governor's Office of Business and Economic Development. And so we have a number of different funding programs, all focused on manufacturing assistance. Technical assistance, workforce development, and consulting services to small and mid-sized manufacturers, right? And so, you know, I mentioned a while ago, the 500-person company is pretty large. You know, nationally and in California, the stats break down about the same. About 99% of manufacturers, 99% are less than 500 employees of all manufacturers across the state, right? So small and mid-sized makes up the vast majority. 1% are larger than 500 employees. 90% are less than 70 employees. 70% here, and I think 71 or 72% nationwide is less than 20, right? So if you did some easy math and made 70, 75 for easy rounding, 35,000, 37,000, a quarter of that are larger than 20 employees. The rest, or the vast majority, are very small companies. And like you said, Kevin, those are companies who have challenges, right? You know, the president of the company, the owner of the company, Carla, is sitting at her desk. She gets a knock on the door. Hey, Joe just went home. Carla gets up from her desk, goes out and works Joe's machine until the end of the shift. Why? Because you need to make production, to make shipping, to make payroll, right? It's those kind of constraints. And that's an oversimplification. But the world of a small manufacturer is it's a very thin organization. Not a lot of extra folks, not a continuous improvement department, not a supply chain department, not, you know, engineers who have continuous improvement or operations excellence as their only job. It's this one of the hats that number of people, chances are, wear. So it's always a challenge, you know, matching up those right technologies. So on that front end research pieces, we follow a process. And I want to talk a little bit more, I'll get into detail here to answer this question, about our Advanced Manufacturing Technologies program. So we have funding from MEP right now to help with the adoption and actually implementation of a couple of technologies. And those technologies are additive manufacturing, advanced robotics and automation, so robots and vision systems, and then smart manufacturing, so condition monitoring, sensoring, and those kind of technologies. For those, you know, we follow a process that's, you know, a discovery meeting, initial qualification, problems you have, problems we think we can solve, and are they solvable by a technology, and assessment. Think of it like a proof of concept, if you will. Let's take a small example. Give me one SKU or give me one operation and see if we can apply the technology there and actually try it out for a short time and figure out where the value is, how well it fits with your unique operation. And then we go into implementation projects, which is, you know, the broader application. Well, we put the sensors on one of your 15 machines and we found out that we have a predictive capability that, you know, it behaves this way shortly before it's about to break down. If you stop it here, you'll save the breakdowns and the unplanned downtime and the quality loss and the production loss, right? So those kind of things. So the proof of concept, the assessment, would do that one machine and see if we can understand those cause and effect relationships using the technology. And then the follow-on project would be, let's implement it across all 15 machines type of thing, maybe, or five that you choose or whatever that is, right? So it's all very configurable and very customized in that way. And so that's how we like to look at it, right? But it starts off those initial conversations, discovery, you know, what are you trying to achieve? Is technology right for you? Are you talking about a solvable problem? And then from the assessment, you know, doing the research of how do you cash the check? If we put a robot in here and replace this operation, right, this very manual, repetitive task that's hard to get people to want to do, so you have lots of turnover in that position. If you put a robot there, does it matter? Does it decrease your cycle time? Does it improve your productivity? Does it improve your quality in such a way you can actually sell more and drive more business? If not, then it's probably not. It's one of a number of solutions we need to look at. So it's got to be a holistic kind of a roadmap approach to making sure that whatever you invest in is going to have an ROI. It's not just going to be a point solution that solves a local problem.
Yeah, and I just want to be, I, Greg, you said it, but I just want to make, you know, for the listeners know, look, these are your tax dollars at work, right? This is
absolutely
not, CMTC is not a private consulting company that's going to come in and, you know, charge you $50,000 to figure out whether you need something. These, in most cases, most of this is correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, most of these are complementary and subsidized by the, you know, the U.S. government, both Department of Commerce, NIST, MEP, and then some state activities as well. Correct?
Yeah, to varying degrees, that's a true statement. And let me offer just a little bit of clarification, right? So if we're talking particularly about the AMTS program that we have right now, Advanced Manufacturing Technology Services, right? So through that award, The cost to a small mid-sized manufacturer for us coming in and doing discovery, completely covered by the award. The cost of doing an assessment, completely covered by the award. The cost of doing one of our pilot projects, and we have a number of pilot projects that we have committed to doing, our cost of our time is completely covered by the award. In addition to that, you know, if a small manufacturer went into an implementation of a robotic project or a smart project or an additive project, we would be able to offer potentially some offset funding against the implementation services on that implementation, right? So what do I mean by that? Well, you have a third-party integrator that comes in and does the configuration and installation of your robot, right? You buy a robotic arm from a robot manufacturer. You get the end effector integrated with the arm, integrated with your machinery, and the use cases to make sure it can handle the product that you want it to, et cetera. That's what the third-party integrator does, right? And so the hardware and software, we can't do any offset against. So if the hardware costs you, the robot costs you 25 and another 10 or 15 of costs for end effector and some other, you know, software pieces, okay, that's what it is. The services implementation piece, we could offer some offset against as well under this current program.
Most people don't expect, like they know there's going to be capital expenditures, right? It's just what's really critical and time consuming, and there's so many unknowns, is that front end research. So I'm really right. glad to hear that CMTC is going into these small, mid-sized manufacturers. It looks like they're laying out the path for that, right? I don't think they mind. I mean, money's money. I mean, I'm sure they don't like to spend, you know, capital expenses are always challenging. But just, you know, that roadmap of how to get there by an honest broker is really what seemed to be invaluable.
Absolutely. And the AMTS program in specifically, you know, the four kind of value proposition ideas we share with the small manufacturers we talk to. Number one, exactly what you said. Honest broker, right? We're technology agnostic. I don't have any skin in the game if you buy or don't buy. What I want to do is help you find the right solution for you, right? So to us, technology is a tool, not a goal. If a technology is going to solve your problem, we'll help you find the right one and try to help you get it installed, right? The second thing is, you know, we help de-risk the technology investment, right? We have expertise in identifying and can bring to bear other expertise that can help identify the right solution to make sure that we're solving the right problem with the right technology. And the third part is, you know, we have a structured methodology about how we do this. So, you know, if I'm a small manufacturer learning this on my own, I don't know what I don't know. There's bound to be some blind alleys and some roadblocks, right? But we have a structured methodology so we can increase your velocity to value. It may take you 6 months to do it on your own. We can do it in 2.5 or 3, maybe 4 type of thing. And so, you know, the sooner you have a viable high ROI or positive ROI investment in place, the sooner you're making money from it. So that additional time is money, is the values piece. And the fourth thing is we always want to tie connect the operational performance to the financial performance. I don't want to install a piece of technology without having an evaluation methodology in place to make sure you're getting your money's worth. Because if you're not, we need to figure out how to do the problem solving. What went wrong? What didn't work? What didn't we understand? Or what is not being done? What's not being executed by the organization, right? And so there's always that culture change and that kind of change management and risk management function that a lot of times a third-party integrator doesn't do, right? Third-party integrator is contracted to install the robot and make it work. When you check it off technically, they walk out the door, they're done. Now, your people may not understand it. Your people may not know how to use it. Your people may not get to why we're doing this. Are you trying to replace me with a robot? No, I'm trying to take mundane, repetitive tasks away from you that are potentially causes of lost time accidents and repetitive motion injuries and have you do stuff where it requires a little more brain work, right? Let you affirm your human dignity and take away the mundane stuff from you and let a robot do that. And by the way, I need to train you to run that robot, to service that robot, to set up that robot, to program that robot. So you have the opportunity for expansion of skills. But if you don't cover this stuff up front and really make those connections and make it clear so people understand what your intention is, that change management, risk management aspect is something we focus on to help kind of mitigate those additional issues.
Yeah, you know, I think long-term, I mean, I'm talking long-term, talking decades, I think there's, you know, you could have some pretty interesting discussions about the displacement of workers by robotics. But, you know, short-term, you're looking next, you know, 20, 30 years or so, I've seen a lot of the studies that say the robotics is going to, you know, add. And I know specifically some of the members that we work with, when they've done some robotics, they've actually added retrain. And so, you know, I'm not buying the, you know, robots are going to replace everyone on the manufacturing floor argument.
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think that's true. I think the opposite is absolutely true. Face it, if you talk to, you know, we work with the Center for Advanced Manufacturing, USC, and you know, SK Gupta is in charge of that whole program there, Professor Gupta. I've talked to him about this. I've talked to some NIST scientists and everybody who, you know, at the high end of academia doing pioneering research on where robots can take us in the future, they'll tell you that a human three-year-old can do things robots have trouble with, right? A human three-year-old can walk up to a box of candies and pick out one. A robot has difficulty discerning one from the other and orienting its hand in the right motion to know how to do it. Usually requires a vision system and a whole bunch of other stuff added onto it. So there's a lot of difficulty in robots being able to replace us. They do very repetitive, mundane tasks. They do them well. And when you can find a way to have those tasks be things that you can run after shift, right? I run a one shift operation. If I can set the robot up, you know, I'm 7 to 3. I set the robot up at 2:45. And let it run for 8 hours while I'm gone, that is pure profit, right? I mean, other than material costs and some energy costs for your raw materials, for material costs, you know, you don't have a whole lot there, but all that's the way you want to try to use robots. And that's the innovative thinking you want to try to apply. How do I segment what I'm doing? But it's never going to replace the people. You're always going to need people to service them, to program them, to set them up. And, you know, AI, machine learning, those things are coming along in great strides, but we're not there. And, you know, and a robot isn't an Android. This isn't a C-3PO that can think and reason and do all those things. We're a long time away from that.
Well, that's too bad. We'd love to see C-3PO in the on the floor. Hey, Greg, are there going to be, so as people are transferring over this whole digitization, and I think this might be a different part of CMTC. It might be under what you're briefing people. Are there subsidies available for retraining folks?
There are in certain cases some subsidies available, and there's also a lot of retraining funding available, right? And so at CMTC, we have a couple of what are called multi-employer contracts with the local and statewide workforce development boards and employment training panels. And one's a federal program, one's a state program, but this is essentially funding for retraining and upskilling. When you have those technology skills you need to transfer, a lot of times those things can apply. And a lot of times with, you know, the way the robots are like cobots, collaborative robots now, and we're talking all about robots, there's additive and smart and many other things we can talk about too. But, you know, from a robotics perspective, a lot of times cobots are easily programmable. It's almost like, you know, the macro button. You press a button, you actually manipulate the robot with your hand and move it through its paces. And then you press the button again and it saved your movements and it's programmed. And then you can pick up a pendant, they call it a pendant, but it's basically a tablet, you know, and you pick up a tablet and then you can control. Well, dial up a little bit of pressure on that squeezing right there where it's holding, or turn it, you know, have it tighten a little bit more and up the torque on how much it tightens that screw and those kind of things. So they're very, very easily programmable and they don't require you to go to school and to sit down at a terminal and bang out code in a lot of cases these days. So we're moving into that. And those are some great improvements in robotic technologies.
It's funny. I was talking to Greg. I was talking to a robotic manufacturer, and this was, I think this is probably about, I would say, probably eight to 10 years ago. And they were putting some robotics into a company, and everything was good. But it just moved so fast. It did the job. It did everything. But the employees, it just wigged everyone out. And they went in. They actually had to slow it down so it wouldn't wig out the employees as much, which was funny. And they actually showed me sped up versus slowing down. And then so, you know, it's really interesting what people perceive as safe and normal and everything else. But I imagine in that 8 to 10 years, things have progressed pretty far. So talk to us a little bit about you know, if you look at the operational areas that you direct the AMTS programs for, you already talked about robotics. I imagine it's also additive manufacturing. Where else can those funds kind of be directed towards?
Yeah, a great question, Kevin. And thank you for kind of following me up on that, because I did want to mention it earlier. But the three areas of focus for the AMTS award are additive manufacturing, advanced robotics and automation, and then smart manufacturing. And so within robotics and automation, we also have machine vision, which can be quality inspection and part presence, absence, date code validation, et cetera. Those kind of things can be used with cameras. But then additive manufacturing, 3D printing for industry. Right. So how can you use that? Well, there's a number of sweet spots for application that can really be helpful. Right. And additive can do a number of things. It's great in the aerospace and automotive industry because you can design parts that are coalesced assemblies, right? I used to have five pieces that had to go together and be fastened or welded or any of those things. I can now print them as a single part. And I can actually take out structure through various technologies. I can take out structure and thereby weight, but have parts that are end parts out of additive that are lighter and stronger than the original versions, right? So there's great power there. There's the ability to do tooling and fixtures and jigs. So, you know, in a CNC operation, you're going to do traditional subtractive, but oftentimes there are manual operations. It's more cost effective to have somebody manually drill this hole than it is to have it to use spindle time on the CNC machine to do it. And so, you know, can I give you a guide that, you know, make sure that there's a fixture that snaps over the part and it makes sure that the hole is centered exactly where it needs to be. And by the way, there's a depth. I bury the drill all the way down to the chuck and I pull it back out and it's exactly the right depth because you've all spec'd that into the guide. Holding fixtures for parts, all kinds of different things that you can do with additive in that way. There's a lot of different applications. Plastic injection molding industry, we're looking very carefully at conformal coaling molds, right? And that's a lot of tech speak here. But when you do a plastic injection part, think of a red cup, right? A red plastic cup. It's a round product, right? You have a mold that's usually in two pieces. They clamp together in the middle, and then you're going to inject in some molten plastic. You're going to then, when it's full and full up, then you're going to cool the mold down and have the molten plastic congeal and become solid, right? You're going to open up the mold, drop it out, close up and do it again, right? Well, the way you cool it is by running liquid, usually water, sometimes other things through the mold itself, through the metal pieces of the mold. And so you create a mold that has the right shape for the internal and external surfaces of the part you want. And then they drill holes for those water jackets, for those cooling channels, right? Well, because it's a round part and you're doing straight holes, you can't get close everywhere. So you end up with places where the water is cooler, closer to the part and further away from the part, you end up with uneven cooling, right? It can impact quality, it can impact surface finish, it can impact the amount of time the mold has to stay closed while it's solidifying the part to have it before it can open and drop out, right? With conformal cooling channels, I can 3D print the mold and I can print the cooling channels to be equidistant from the part faces, so that it cools down much faster. I can reduce the cool down time, the dwell time, 20, 30, 50, sometimes 70%. And so, you know, if you can take 30% out of the dwell time I think it's a 35 or 40 second part total cycle time, you can get an additional 15 hours of runtime in a week. And that is significant, right? I have a shift and a half, essentially, almost two shifts of additional runtime off my same machines using my same people. Those are kind of improvements. So additive can do a lot of great things. Yeah, I know I threw a lot at you. You may have some questions.
No, I think that just gave us an example of something that, you know, the funds could be directed to. It's the old cliche. We want to make sure we're working smarter, not harder. Although I'm not afraid of hard work, but it's nicer to have using technology. You know, one of the reasons why I love to have these conversations is I don't think, you know, a lot of manufacturers, look, I'll be candid. There's a lot of complaining about what's going on in California, whether it's regulation, whatever that may be. And there's really not enough discussion around the resources that are available. And, you know, look, I'm a big fan of CMTC. I'm going to be completely honest with you. CMTC is a founding member of Tech San Diego. They've literally helped dozens of our members save hundreds of thousands of dollars. And have really been an invaluable resource. And sometimes it's frustrating to see not every manufacturing company kind of take advantage of it. You know, it's your tax dollars. You might as well. You have really nothing to lose except for productivity and money. And so I would really encourage everyone to contact. I know we're going to Sarah, our comms director, will put something in the podcast notes about this. But Greg, what's an easy way to get a hold of CMTC?
A lot of different ways you can do that. Our website is a great source of that, cmtc.com. On the main page, you'll find out some stats on the impact that we have, right? So we're the MEP Center for California. One of the requirements of being that center is that we do a quarterly NIST survey with our clients. And so our clients then are asked by a third party to talk about what our results were. Did we help you increase sales? Did we help you grow sales? Did we help you increase jobs? Did we help you invest in capital, reduce costs? A number of different questions. And so you'll see on our CMTC main page some statistics on some recent NIST survey summary activity on the amount of impact that we've been able to have on the California economy. There's also a contact us page at the bottom. If you scroll down in a couple different call to action spots throughout buttons throughout the page, that'll allow you to get to a contact us. And we will definitely respond to any leads on people who are interested in understanding about these about any of our services. We have a services page that kind of gives a high level overview of our services. And then we have specific services page for each. So there's one on additive, there's one on robotics, there's one on smart, there's one on business and strategic planning, there's one on supply chain, there's one on HR services, et cetera. There are many, many different pages. I invite you to check those out. There's also a program page for AMTS, for the Advanced Manufacturing Technology Services. And on there, there's kind of a qualifying questionnaire that'll go straight to me. So if you're interested in understanding more about these services and if they might be a fit for you, fill out the information on that page, go through that questionnaire, and we will be in contact within a day or two to have a conversation and see how we might be able to help you.
That's great. And I'm always more than willing to do a referral for anyone. I work with a lot of the folks here in San Diego, and Amanda Cheney, Tiffany Garcia, and Heidi Marie and the team do a great job working with me, making sure our members of Tech San Diego are informed. We'll do that. So I think, Greg, I think we covered an incredible amount of information in a short amount of time. I'm not sure how we did it, but we talked a little bit about manufacturing 4.0. The importance of small, mid-sized manufacturers, an overview of the AMTS program, some of the subsidies. Is there anything we missed?
Obviously, a lot more to talk about, but I think I'm at the point where I think I'd be a little bit overwhelmed at this point. So I would want to stop and take it in little bite-sized pieces, right?
I think you're right, and that's a good advice. So let's go ahead and we'll close this Tech San Diego Spotlight podcast. Go to techsd.org for more information. If you want to be on our mailing list, go to our website. You could sign up for our mailing list. We have a regular manufacturing roundtable event. Goes every other month. You're welcome to attend that. Those have been virtual. At some point, they'll be in person again. And so we'll see you at the next manufacturing event. Greg, thank you and your team at CMTC.
Kevin, thank you so much. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here and to, you know, share some of our programs with your listeners. We're here to serve manufacturing in California, and we really appreciate the opportunity to be part of us. Really great talking to you today. Good to see you again. And hope we can talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Stay safe and healthy, everyone.
Since 1994, Tech San Diego has provided a unifying voice for San Diego's technology community, fostering growth and business acceleration through collaborations between industry, education, and government. We support members from all sectors of the technology industry, including cybersecurity, big data, robotics, SaaS, biotech, healthcare, Internet of Things, defense, telecom, and more. Learn more about us at www.techsandiego.org. Tech San Diego Spotlight is hosted by Tech San Diego's Executive Director, Kevin Carroll. We want to thank Greg Profesich of CMTC for joining us today. California Manufacturing Technology Consulting, or CMTC, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that delivers a broad array of technical, consulting, and workforce development services to small and medium-sized manufacturers in California. To learn more about how CMTC can help your organization, visit cmtc.com. Producers for Tech San Diego Spotlight are Kevin Carroll and Sarah Spiva. Tech San Diego Spotlight is reported remotely and edited by Hypable Impact. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, make sure to like, follow, and subscribe.